League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
With Pena. He wants to talk about a movie. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey. So this past weekend, I had took my mom to go watch Jurassic World. She's a big fan of the series. I like them too, but this movie sucked, man. It was terrible. Like, I enjoyed watching Scarlett Johansson, but it's definitely down there with the worst of the series. I don't know if you're a big fan, but or a fan at all. Can you give me like your top three movies if you can? Thank you. Have a great day.
I think the Jurassic Park movies are fine. I would probably one is still the GOAT. I don't think anyone's challenging that just because of the technology and the surprise of how realistic the dinosaurs looked. And, of course, the nostalgia. I was a kid when I first saw it. All that's going to work in one's favor.
You can basically say it's more true to say one's the only good movie of the franchise
That's true.
Not the first. Not number one.
Yes. I would say, since you wanted me to rank the top three, I would probably say two. Actually, three. Two was the one where
it's in San Diego.
They wound up like near humans.
Yeah. Two's good. The kid's paragliding and then crashes into the island. They get Sam Neill for one last job.
Yeah. Is that three or two?
That's three.
Three. I take three and then the first Chris Pratt one because they came back. But other than that, toss the rest of it away.
And that one Chris Pratt one, like, you can talk me into this one's better than that one.
Okay. I have not seen this one, the most recent one. Sean did. He has also seen F1.
Mostly pretty good.
Okay.
the Jurassic Park. I was like, this is not like so bad. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, this is all right.
Yeah. And
it being all right is good enough to be in the discussion for top three Jurassic Park movie of all time.
Yeah. So I'd have to see this one before I could rank them fully, but I'm probably leaning three from the original set. And then, depending on how this one goes, for me, it would either be the first Chris Pratt one or this one. You said
F1 would be the best Jurassic Park movie.
A movie not about dinosaurs would be the best Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah.
You said Jurassic Park Rebirth. You can just stay at home. To me, because I haven't seen either one, F1 or Jurassic Park Rebirth. Watch that one at home. Go see F1 in a theater. That was your recommendation.
Yes.
And I asked
you. And watch Heads of State on.
I have seen Heads of State.
Okay, good.
It's fine. It's
better than it had any business being.
That's true.
And surprisingly bad at other moments.
Yes. It is funnier than it probably should be, considering. Well, John Cena has already been the guy who's been funnier than he probably should be, if you just think of him as the meathead wrestler. He's been funnier in a lot of his stuff than you would ever think he should be. But also, since we're getting into this now, the scenes where they go, hey, it's a long story, that stuff is terrible.
Yes.
That is awful.
I'm like, this seems like it's an idea from a different movie.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. It's a bit they do a couple times where someone doesn't explain what they've been through over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they do almost like a Family Guy cutaway.
Yeah, and it's of them really in bad CGI.
Yeah.
It's awful altogether. But, you know, the action is fine.
Plot's good enough.
Yeah, Elba and Cena are good together. It's fine. Yeah. It's a movie that you probably won't be disgusted by.
It's a great streaming movie.
If you want to watch something at home on streaming, that's the one to watch.
If I spent $15 on a ticket,
I'd be upset.
I'd be judging it more critically.
Particularly the the long story short stuff. Yeah. That stuff I'd be very upset with if I bought – if I wasn't already paying for Amazon because I like a delivery, if I had to pay for a movie, I'd be upset. So, Peña, I can't give you full rankings. I have not seen the entire series. I'll get there.
I mean, again, Rebirth is just like right in there with all the rest of them.
And I would say –
better than Dominion, though.
And I can't – okay, thankfully. Thankfully, it's better than Dominion. I will say this right there with you. Yes, just being there to see Scarlett Johansson being somewhat of an action star. You'll take it. She's holding a giant gun. Some guys like blondes with guns, I'm sure. That appeals to some people. That's enough, I think. The fact that she's even in the movie was surprising me. It was like, wait a minute, what? Like, I know she's done Marvel stuff, but if we're ranking the tiers of IP schlock, Marvel's above Jurassic. Well, the Marvel she was in is above the most recent.
I think current Marvel's still above. Well, that.
Yeah, Thunderbolts.
There's or been as one good Jurassic Park movie.
That's true. Thunderbolts, and now I guess they're called that movie somewhat called the New Avengers, depending on how you take the title change. That's a pretty good Marvel movie. Not at their peak, but better than some of the recent stuff. And I would take Thunderbolts over any other Pratt level. Or at least Pratt-led Jurassic Park movies.
Yes.
I would say.
The Pratt-led Marvel movies are better than the Pratt-led.
Well, this is what we're saying. Marvel, despite its downturn, it's a tier above Jurassic Park stuff. Since we initially saw Jeff Goldblum in movie one.
I was
going
to say,
yes.
The only guys that have been in better Jurassic Park movies are Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
And those two kids. I forgot what their names are, but their kids were never that important. It was the dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. There's kids in this movie, too.
There always are.
You could easily do the movie without
kids. Yeah, and the first...
It's, like, so easy to do the kids with...
And the first...
Do this movie without
the kids. Yeah, that's what Michael was saying. The family plot line, not needed when he joined us on Friday.
It's, like, so, like, someone in a boardroom was like, we need kids to watch this movie. Let's throw some kids in here.
How come there wasn't someone in the boardroom who went... Actually, no, we don't. We don't, because that's the problem with a lot of these movies.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that the suit asking for kids was right, because this movie's making a bunch of money.
Well, it's making money because of the dinosaurs, not because of the kids. It's like when Transformers makes money or when the Kong versus Godzilla. Sure, Millie Bobby Brown's a big star, but I don't care.
That the star
she's in the movie.
Is Godzilla.
Yeah, the star is Godzilla and Kong.
By the way, T-Rex still a star.
T-Rex is a T-Rex always hits. Every time you see the T-Rex on the screen, you know.
I think that's the biggest problem with the Jurassic Park movies.
That T-Rex is a
star.
They
can't make something cooler than T-Rex.
Yeah, no matter all the abominations, as you put it during a break, all the dinosaurs they put out there because these are the really bad ones. Everyone grew up knowing the T-Rex was the biggest, baddest thing on the face of the earth at that time, at least when dinosaurs roamed. Even if that wasn't true, that's what we grew up on. Yeah. The T-Rex.
The marketing's already in there.
Yeah. Didn't have to try. The fact that the book cover and the first logo was the T-Rex.
He's literally the logo.
Yeah.
The T-Rex is literally the logo.
Yes. He's the Jerry West of dinosaurs.
But if Jerry West is also Michael Jordan.
Yes, he's the Jerry West of dinosaurs, if Jerry West was Michael Jordan. That is correct. So shout out to a Megalodon or whatever the hell the names of the dinosaurs.
Mosasaurus.
Yeah, whatever. Beat it. We all know that because the T-Rex is in some ways the hero, because when the raptors come terrorizing the humans, the T-Rex goes, I'll eat them, but I got to deal with you first. And it gives the humans a chance to escape. That's kind of why the T-Rex holds a place.
Because he's a hero.
In our hearts. Yeah, he'll kill a couple side characters before he saves the main characters.
That's just nature, though.
Yeah, but
in the first movie, the guy he kills is the terrible lawyer.
Exactly. No one cares about that. Oh, you're sitting in that porta potty?
Yoink.
Appreciate it. Willie P wants to talk about soccer. We'll get to that when we come back. Frankly, talking U.S. soccer, less fun than talking about even the Chris Pratt Jurassic Park movies, or in that case, Jurassic World, I guess. No matter what, we take your calls. And Willie P is up next. If you want to follow him, you can. 713-780-3776. We had the Gold Cup final. I went to it. It was as boring as you might imagine a Jurassic Park movie without Scarlett Johansson. Sorry. It wasn't a great experience watching the game. The experience of being around the crowd, great. Sure, it was a clear road game for the U.S., but that's what you get when the U.S. fans aren't that thrilled with the product and you come to a place with a heavy Mexican-American community. That's the vibes. I would say, Sean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It was probably, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, it felt like 85-15 Mexican fans. It, are you aware of the colors for Chivas, the famous Mexican team?
No.
Okay, they are red, white, and blue.
Oh, okay.
I was telling this story yesterday. It was so many Mexican fans at the game. And then when you thought you caught a U.S. jersey out of the corner of your eye, it wasn't. It was just a Mexican fan in a Chivas jersey in red, white, and blue. There were some U.S. fans, as I said yesterday, the ones who sat next to me.
Oh.
Not because they're bad people, but they may be. It was just that they're bad soccer fans. It's a lot of stuff being said that didn't make any sense. Even if you do have a Clint Dempsey jersey on, doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. Willie P will get your take on the game when we come back. So we're back, Willie P wants to get in. There's actually soccer on right now. The women's Euros. Spain's been great. I've watched a couple of their highlights. Been really good. Germany may have just scored against Denmark. We'll see if it counts. VAR is involved, which unfortunately did not play a part in a play that could have given the U.S. a penalty kick that would have given them a lead in the second half of their game against Mexico in the Gold Cup final. Someone who wants to talk about that is Willie P. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dad. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Not bad. I can't complain. You know, it's been a long time since I called in, but after watching the game Sunday, like, immediately, like, after 30 minutes, I was like, oh, man, I got to call Dell on Monday. Because this is, look, I understand we got that early goal, but what I don't get is why the U.S. decided to just sit back all of a sudden. I mean, there were so many things wrong with that game, and no lie, Pochettino got outcoached. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, he had lead-footed Aubameyang out there, you know, leading the line. And, you know, from time to time, you would see Diego Luna or Sebastian Berhalter, which he was playing him out of position. Sebastian Berhalter is not a right midfielder. He's not a right winger. He's a defensive midfielder. He's an 8 or a 6, you know. He wants to play that Sandro Tonali, Andre Pirlo role. That's where he's best at. And once they made the substitutions, which were, in my opinion, too late in the game, he thrived. You know, he thrived in that position. But like, it's just like this goes back to the whole selection of the team. I don't understand why he didn't select Josh Sargent as one of the forwards. You know, he was healthy, he was available. He didn't pick him, and you know, he's got egg on his face right now. And I have, you know, a bad feeling for next summer. I think we're going to get, you know, outrageously embarrassed. There's going to be something cool when it comes to our group games, unless we get a favorable draw. I know people complain about the handball, and yeah, the handball. In my opinion, the soccer gods said we didn't deserve it. You played so terribly after scoring that first goal that you didn't deserve that handball. And I get it. You know, yeah. Here's the thing. You know, let's say we get the handball and we win the penalty. Who's to say Mexico didn't turn around and just score anyway? They were pelting the goal nonstop in the late first half, all the second half. Like, it was embarrassing. So, yeah, I just want to get your opinion on the game because I didn't listen to the podcast yesterday yet. So, it's just, I know you were there, which I think is awesome. You know, congrats to you. But one last thing. This is to the Glizzy Goblin, Willie Ryden Eric. Don't think I didn't hear your little jab from like 2 weeks ago when you tried to mumble mush mouth to what it do, baby. Look, if you don't keep sweating me, bro, I need you to send me some Gatorade, all right? You know, I'm losing electrolytes. It's hot out here. Anyways, Dell, you have a great day. Love the show as always. Sean A. Mace, what it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Appreciate it, Willie P. So we've got the what now is a long-standing back and forth between Willie P. and Eric, and of course now we have a new thing between Sean and Mike. So it's more Mike directed at Sean. But I don't know how Sean will respond the next time Mike has something disparaging to say. We'll see. I don't think they're going to be settling it on the virtual college football field
because we don't know your gamer tag, honestly. You didn't leave that with us. So a lot of talk, Mike. Didn't see you drop a gamer tag. So we'll see. We'll see how serious you are about, well, I'm not even going to use the phrase you used again, in regards to what you said you would do to Sean on the field. As far as the game, yeah, I was there. It was a great experience to be had. I know it didn't. It wasn't a great watching experience as far as how the U.S. played, and I'm sure that played out on TV, as Willie P. talked about. They were very defense-oriented. They didn't have Diego Luna in a forward position. He was pretty much playing left back along with Arvidsson, 18. I don't know why. I guess just out of fear that Mexico would have played through them. And Mexico controlled that game. So it's not like they got a poor result. Not like the U.S. got a poor result. Like they deserved to win. And they just didn't find the goals. They shouldn't have won that game. Of course, in the middle of it, you just want them to win. You can break down how well or poorly they played afterwards. And that was a lot of the conversation from the U.S. soccer media, particularly the ex-players who do podcasts and show up to do interviews after the game. A lot of the talk was the team setup and the fact that you didn't even bring any wingers to the team, period. There weren't really options to play wide and attack. The U.S. forward problem is a thing that seems like it's going to be the bane of my soccer watching existence for my life. The fact that Jozy Altidore may be the best American forward I've ever seen doesn't speak well to our development there. Like, Christian Pulisic is not a forward. He's an attacking mid. Dempsey, you can play him out of position. You played him out of position there, but he wasn't a true number nine. And, of course, Landon Donovan, not that either. Like, I gotta lean on the likes of, like, Brian McBride and others.
Josh Sargent.
Well, good luck. now we got to hope that Ricardo Pepi is ready to go for the
Pepi.
World Cup. And Balogun is another one who they're going to have to depend on. Those are probably their top two guys
who didn't play. Who flipped from England to
– Yeah. So we'll see if those guys are ready for the World Cup. Willie P. Voice some of the anxiety about what this team can be in the world setting in your home country. Generally, you get a boost. There are some countries who aren't developed enough as a soccer-playing nation that no matter if the games are played in their home country, they're not going to do well. The U.S. should not be at a point where playing at home results in a group stage exit. You heard Willie P. talk about the favorable draw. That's a problem, too, that as Denmark just scored, that Germany goal got pulled back and Denmark just scored a nice one. That's a problem if we're looking at a favorable draw. Home team, World Cup. Sure, of course, you want it to be as easy as possible, but it shouldn't be dependent at this point in the country's development on the draw. You would hope that you could at least advance out of the group stage at home, no matter if it's a medium draw. Of course, you don't want the group of death, but you would like one where you think this team is competent enough to make it through pretty much any situation when you have the backing and all the buildup for a host nation.
Group of death would be fun, though.
It would be there would be a lot of talk about how they wouldn't get out of the group leading up, and a lot of trepidation. They've been in a group of death before and survived. I don't remember which. It was supposed to be the group of death. I think it was the Portugal Germany World Cup in, was it 14, when they weren't expected to get out because there was Portugal and Germany.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And they got out because a game they should have won against Portugal wound up in a tie, and then they won their first match. I forgot who was against. Of course, they got smacked around by Germany. And then in the second round, that was where Tim Howard made all those saves against Belgium.
Stood on his head.
Yeah. Well, is that a hockey thing or a soccer thing?
I've only ever heard.
I think it's a hockey thing. I'm not sure if they use the same. They don't even like calling. They don't want your goalie. You can be a goalie in both, but generally you're a goaltender in hockey and a goalkeeper in soccer. Either way, Tim Howard.
Was good.
Was great.
On that,
maybe the
on that
best
day.
Best performance by an American goalie in any competitive match ever, and it still didn't get us out of that because they couldn't score, and eventually wound up losing 2-1 in extra time as Chris Wondolowski had a chance to score at the very end of regulation. All he's there for. We're going to put you in the last 10 minutes, and you're supposed to be the sniper, the guy who's one of the guys who takes advantage of being in front of the goal, opportune guy. The opportunity fell to him. He misses, and that was kind of really the end of their chances. So we haven't really progressed since 2014. Still can't find guys who can score in front of the net, and we're unhappy with our manager. Then we're talking now.
A decade.
Over a decade ago. We're still doing this thing, unfortunately. We'll see how it plays out. That was the Gold Cup final was the last chance there. They'll really have an opportunity to play for something before the World Cup. Of course, the team will be different as far as who will be available.
Yeah, we'll see if Pulisic needs play more rest
for a World Cup.
I don't know.
The rest
is so important.
It is in the summer. The World Cup is in the summer. Will he be rested enough from his club responsibilities to actually play in the World Cup? I imagine he will. But I can only imagine it. The last time he was called upon, he said, ow.
Because it's not because it's the Gold Cup. That's not why he set out for rest. So if it's the World Cup, it doesn't change anything.
It was because it's the Gold Cup. But Americans don't. Even the guys who play don't take it that seriously.
Not my Captain America.
You're right. That's Sam Wilson.
Or Diego Luna.
Diego Luna booed over and over again. Every time.
I will say Diego Luna and Pochettino, a little bit of bottom of CONCACAF merchants. A little bit of.
Well, Pochettino, in the matches leading up to the Gold Cup, they did not play well. So a lot of it was, the level of competition lessened and you were able to win matches. And then you face your traditional rival. I don't even know if Mexico's the best team in CONCACAF. That might go to Canada if they were on their game, but they weren't. So the U.S. didn't have to deal with them in a semifinal. And Mexico went on to win another Gold Cup title. I think it's their 10th Gold Cup title, most all time. They've won most of them on U.S. soil. It is what it is. World Cup, summer away. Houston will be a big part of that, whether we get a U.S. game. I would put that as unlikely, considering the turnout on Sunday.
Probably going to be in Columbus.
I think the U.S. Federation will do what they can to have games set up for them in places more favorable to them. Look, you're not going to play Mexico on the group stage, in all likelihood, but you could play another Latin American country or just a country with more support than the U.S. would like. Like, it won't be like 85-15.
Yeah,
but any minority as far as fandom, not like minorities, but if you're not the majority fan base, it's going to be looked at as embarrassing for the U.S. You can't even find a way to have more fans during a World Cup. That can't happen.
All three games are in Kansas City. What?
Hey, they can't use the cold as an advantage. That's what they normally do to Mexico
in
World Cup qualifying. Can't do it during the World Cup. Got to find a way to play in warmer temperatures, just hopefully in spots where you've got more fans. We'll see how that draw works out as we're now less than a year away from World Cup soccer in this country. Should be a good time. If Sunday was any indication, Houston is ready for the World Cup. A lot of people excited about soccer in this area, and we'll see what type of matches we get when we get there. Okay, we'll go to break with that if you want to get in. And maybe not be like Willie P and call out Eric, but just be like Willie P and get on the show. You can join us, 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. They just had their July 4th event where you could have gotten an EV vehicle. Certainly you can still get those, but they had deals going on. You missed out on that, but the deals don't stop at Monument Chevrolet. Check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. So I mentioned those EVs. They also have, you know, your standard vehicles, whether you want a Silverado or a Trailblazer or a Trax. They're all there for you, and that's just the new stuff. Maybe you're looking for something a little different. Maybe you want to look at their pre-owned inventory. They have a wide selection of vehicles. And then, of course, as I always like to talk about, if you are someone who's starting a business or currently has one and you need a commercial vehicle, they have all those for you as well. They got a wide selection of commercial vehicles at Monument Chevrolet. So check out what they have on the website at monumentchevrolet.com. And then find the price you want, find the car you want, and go to the dealership. It's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And it's a campus pretty much because they have all those cars for the new, the pre-owned, and the commercial vehicles. And they also have a service department, got a parts department. They have all there for you, and that's why they've been in business for over 50 years. Been treating generations of families to great service and the great car buying experience. So head on out there, Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, and remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we had Willie P on. He mentioned the non-penalty call and why it shouldn't have mattered, really, because the U.S. wasn't playing well. Well, U.S. defender Chris Richards says this about CONCACAF. They hate us. Homie palmed the ball like Shaq in the box. The thing about CONCACAF is that they feel we're always one step behind with the refereeing. And then he says the second Mexican goal shouldn't have been allowed because there was a defender blocking someone. Not the guy who scored the goal, but a different person. In any other league, it would have been called offside. But again, that's CONCACAF for you. They hate us. So there's been some talk about CONCACAF not particularly
because they ain't us, or they just hate us.
He didn't expand or expound upon why they hate us. Is it simply because they ain't us? But U.S. soccer feels like they're put upon. I would say this: no matter if CONCACAF hated you or not, if you didn't hire the likes of Greg Berhalter and didn't rehire Bruce Arena because you're desperate because you're firing Klinsmann, maybe it wouldn't matter if they hated you. Maybe it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, like, if you're operating at not even like 100% of like the potential, if finally we're actually seeing the like fruits of the labor of the last, whatever, since the World Cup in 94, it wouldn't matter if the refs hated you. Like, it only matters because this team actually can't. Like, they need breaks to go their way have easy wins.
Because in the sport that we talk about quite a bit, there are feelings amongst fans that their program is hated. It only really matters if you're not good enough to overcome it. If you're not dominant, then even if the refs do hate you, then that means they can affect you because you aren't good enough to overcome it. There are great teams in the country who get penalized all the time. You know, it doesn't matter. They lead the country in penalties. Doesn't matter because they're too good for it to matter. And the U.S. Right now isn't too good for it not to matter when it comes to alleged bias with referees. How about you find a forward who can dribble? How about that?
No, that's bias too.
How about put together a team who has wingers.
Bias.
Some of it, yes.
You're biased.
Some of it has to do with the fact that some of those guys are either unavailable because they're hurt or because they had to play in the Club World Cup.
Yeah, but or they don't want to.
That's mostly the Pulisic thing. Too tired. Unfortunately, a lot of those guys are being thrown into that, but a lot of those guys are either hurt or had Club World Cup responsibilities.
Actual,
and their club wouldn't allow them to play. Like, I think Weah and McKinney wanted to play. It's just that Juventus was like, actually, we got this tournament we are trying to win, so you can't play for your country in the same country that their tournament is being played in. But we can play the Club World Cup in the U.S.
Yeah.
And you can watch.
Playing all the
on
empty
Fox
stadiums.
Yeah. Well, until
now. The last, I was watching the PSG. But,
yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah. The big clubs are certainly getting their followings, like Madrid, Real. Everyone's filling up with it. New York, I think all the semifinals and the final is going to be in New York. It'll be in a central location. All right. So plenty of soccer there. Good luck to the national team.
They'll need it.
That's the unsaid thing I wasn't going to say, but you said it. Yes, they're going.
Good luck to those guys.
They're going to need it. In a very obvious turn of events, not the U.S. struggling. I was going to move to something else. But yes, in another obvious turn of events, Sean, guess where a certain publication ranked the Texans' offensive line?
I saw this. PFF had them 32 out of 32.
Yes, yes. The worst offensive line in football coming at you in 2025. We've talked about it a bit all the time right now, considering C.J. Stroud's importance. So we won't kill this particular thing too much. But yes, once again, the entire world looks at the Texans' offensive line and go, hey, that sucks.
You guys really do.
You guys actually did stuff, and it still sucks. Why? Why is that the case? Yeah.
They have a new mentality, though. Swarm mentality.
Now on the offensive line, full of swarm type individuals, yeah. And
Nicholas, that's what PFF they're
not taking into account.
Yeah,
maybe PFF doesn't
swarm plus
doesn't trust. Oh, is that an advanced statistic about offensive linemen?
They should work on it.
Maybe they're not taking that into account because it actually spells swarm when you go by the words they use. Maybe that's why PFF if it isn't really taking that seriously.
Yeah.
Either way, the Texans are going to have to exceed what people think of them on the offensive line for them to have a successful year. That's all. Just so you know, if you think there's a problem, despite Nick Caserio's lack of concern and D'Amico's not concerned as well as he told us at a fan event, everyone else is concerned. We'll see who's right.
I'm not saying that the Texans' offensive line isn't bad.
But is it the worst?
32?
We'll find out.
I mean, come on. There's got to be a team out there that's
but the fact that it's even it even boils down to like come on there's got to be one that's a problem there's got to be one. Like that we're struggling to go hey I mean we're
the Saints running out
we're
there
we can at least be 31st right we're 31st yeah that
Saints Giants
I don't know
it's all the usual suspects
the problem is it's not like college football where number 130 is clearly much worse than one. Or like 89?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're 31, I don't feel great either.
You're still the worst.
It's still one of the – like, how big of a difference? That's just, hey, I kind of like how this guard plays sometimes. Yeah. So he's 30 – they're 31 and this other team's 32. I don't like being in the 30s. How about that? I like my offensive line to be in the teens. I'm not asking for too much. Be average. The Texans had a long run of being like league average in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pray for it because that's weird, but I would wish to be league average.
13 to 18?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What I'd kill to have an
offensive line. We're talking about a real contender if we had a league average offensive line, replacement level offensive line. That's what I'm looking for.
Is this their Reed Sheppard? Actually, it's probably more important than Reed Sheppard is.
Yeah, it's their fatal flaw. I don't know how you want to put that.
It's their, like, we need the Rafael Stone. We need Reed Sheppard to step up if we want to
no this
produce what we want to
this
produce.
Isn't the Reed Sheppard this is Katie's Achilles.
Oh god, it's like actually the Achilles
yes
heel.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm going for. Yes, it is actually the Achilles heel of this team. Yeah. It is Katie's. If Katie's Achilles doesn't hold up, or just Katie in general doesn't hold up, don't want to put an Achilles injury on him again. If that doesn't hold up, the Rockets are cooked. If the Texans' offensive line doesn't hold up, they're cooked. So,
yeah,
those two.
I guess it is more important than Reed Sheppard.
Yes, if Reed Sheppard doesn't play, okay, your 10 to 15 backup point guard minutes aren't being led by a top five pick.
Yeah, it's like at the deadline, you can still like, all right, let's just get Clarkson in here.
Oh, hey,
same thing.
Yeah, is George Hill still rolling around? What's he doing? We need backup. We need a backup point guard. Hell, maybe Chris Paul won't sign with anyone.
Get Jeff Teague off the podcast.
Yeah, whatever. Go toss a second rounder at whoever decides on Chris Paul. Do that. You can do that if you need to.
Yeah, that's a little different than Cam Robinson starting left tackle.
Don't stop at Cam Robinson.
Maybe, if he wins the camp battle.
You can keep naming names. It don't stop at Cam Robinson, and that's a problem. They got more than one potential weak link.
That's probably what it is. If there's like one or two guys, if it was just the Juice Patterson combo, that would be one thing. But it's like four guys that you're like, God, I hope they pull it out.
Yeah. You guys can hear that. I heard it too. Don't worry about it. We'll go to break. That's a perfect signal. Hey, guys, go to break. All right, we'll do that. If you want to get in on our final segment, you can. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean will close it out when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So just to be clear, it's not something you can do now. We're going to have contests for everyone, but we're getting closer and closer to fantasy football season, and we're going to be heavily involved, ESPN 97.5, in particular this show. And the John Lance Show will be involved for the ultimate fantasy draft experience. Four lucky listeners will each win two spots in a fantasy league held at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles on Thursday, August 28th. We're going to be giving away one spot for you and a friend to be in a fantasy football league with me, John Lance, and Sean every Thursday starting July 24th through August 14th. And the winners will also receive a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget, a $200 beverage, food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So we're going to do it on air. We're going to do it like social media contests as well. So just keep track. If you guys got a buddy and you want to head on out there to the Golden Nugget for the fantasy draft, just keep that in mind. It'll be August 28th. So make sure you can make it. Make sure your buddy can make it. And then you guys get to enjoy all the things that the Golden Nugget has to offer. You guys hear us talk about it quite a bit. John and Lance have enjoyed the Golden Nugget experience for a while now. I've been able to go the last couple times. It's good fun. Great time. Don't even have to leave the casino if you don't want, or excuse me, leave the resort if you don't want to. Kind of got everything you want, from great restaurants to gambling to the sports book. It's all there for you. So we're gonna be getting that going. Just stay aware. Maybe cut out some time for yourself if you think you want to enjoy that experience. So Golden Nugget, August 28th, that's when we'll be doing that fantasy draft. And I got to be in a fantasy football league. I never do it, but now I have to. Of course, you got to think of a great name for your team.
Study up. See what Matt Barry's all about?
Probably not.
Who he loves, who he hates?
Probably not. But I do now realize I got to involve myself in fantasy football podcasts, which is something I've always kind of avoided. But now
get ready to learn half PPR, buddy.
Look.
Wait, who's going to be the commissioner of this league?
I don't know that, honestly. I don't know who's going to be the one doling out rulings and ruling against or for people. I don't know about that. I'm sure that's to be determined. Maybe it won't be.
I don't like any of our options.
Maybe it won't be someone who's invested in winning. Maybe Joe will do it because he's not. I don't know how you do that. Can it be someone outside the league just to keep the people involved in this one from running amok? I don't know. I can't promise fairness, I guess is what I'm saying. I just don't know how we'll do it.
Who would be the worst?
Commissioner?
Commissioner.
Well, see, we got trash talkers. John's a giant trash talker. He uses this show to shame a Lance because they're in the same league. So he's not the show. He the morning show, obviously. He'll use the morning show to shame Lance after a big win. Trash talk Lance as far as how his team's going. So I don't know if you want a big trash talker as your commish. I would think you want someone level-headed.
Lance, I don't say not level-headed.
No, I'm trying to figure out if my lack of care would allow me to be good at that, because I wouldn't be passionate enough.
You're Jon Snow. I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't want it, Danny. I think maybe my lack of passion for the entire venture might make me a great, because what do they say? Great leaders are the people who don't want to be leaders.
Yeah.
Who are forced into it, kind of. So maybe that's me. I do have a great disdain for John and Lance, so maybe it shouldn't be me, now that I think about it. I would rule against them all the time, I think. Yeah. Even
CONCACAF refs. They're the U.S.
They hate us. Yes, they're all Chris Richards. They hate us. He hates me. So we'll figure that out. I think it's a great question to ask.
I think I'd be bad.
Why?
I just don't think I'd be good at it.
Okay. I imagine there's a lot of logistics and a lot of emails and stuff you got to – I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of rules. A lot of things I need to weigh in on that I'm like
– yeah, leave me be. Yeah. I think it maybe needs to be someone from the outside.
Yeah.
Sure. sure Roger Goodell's like a lackey for the owners.
That's what I feel like it would be. It would be like, I'm Roger Goodell. It's like, can I go against John Carnotto? I don't know. I don't know if I can make a ruling against him.
I mean, you can. I mean, maybe it's not
good for your well-being. My life hell.
It might not be good for your well-being.
Yeah. He's Jerry Jones.
You think he's Jerry Jones?
I'm Roger Goodell.
I know he's been a long-standing owner, but does Jerry Jones still have that type of pull?
I think he does.
He's got that in him still? I guess I'm attributing not winning to lack of power, which I probably shouldn't. It's like me, like Jeffrey Luria, being the most powerful, one of the Hunt, Clark Hunt being the most powerful owner in the game because his team always wins. I don't know if that's how it plays out, but either way, we'll find a commissioner. You guys can be involved, and
a commissioner. We'll find six people or eight people, however many spots are open for this league.
Yeah, it'll be a mess, maybe without rules. Maybe that's something you like, but just take into account, you'll get to stay at the Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah. Hang out with John and Lance and Dell.
So while you – well, that's not an appealing thing, at least hanging out.
Get to hang out with Dell?
That's the non-appealing thing, I'm just saying.
Because it's Labor Day weekend, right? That we're doing?
August 28th. Is that Labor Day weekend?
I think that's the start.
Probably is. Yeah, Thursday, August 28th. Yeah. Then Friday, then the football game's over the weekend.
So you get to watch football in the same room as Dell?
That is not a great sell, I don't think.
Why?
You get to watch football in the DraftKings Sportsbook.
With Dell.
Sure. But also with John and Lance and Sean.
You can listen to him complain about Mario Cristobal.
Do they play Notre Dame that weekend?
I don't think they play on Thursday, but
they play on...
Oh, I hope it's not Sunday. That would suck. Or Monday.
I think it's the Saturday. The Sunday game, there's a couple games there. Remember Texas, Ohio State wanted Texas to move to Sunday, but Texas said no because the contract is the contract. I think it's a Saturday night game, Miami, Notre Dame.
I look up Miami week one, stupid Dolphins.
See, you got to know how the algorithm works. And even though they've been terrible for my entire life almost.
August 31st, 6:30.
So that's a
Sunday
game. It is a Sunday game, huh? So we'll be driving back. Well, I'll probably have already left.
Never mind. Then I don't know if you even want to be in this. If you can't watch a Miami game with Dell.
Oh, you mean the Catholic versus convicts back?
He's going to be wearing the T-shirt.
I'm not going to be doing anything but hiding. Because I never watch games I care about around people.
The fire extinguisher that Sebastian the Ibis has.
No. Speaking of Mario Cristobal, he did not offer up his likeness for the game. So what EA did was pick a guy and give him a Hispanic name. Who looks nothing like Cristobal, but they gave him a Hispanic name to be the coach.
It's not my place to speak on this, but I don't think I would have gone Hispanic coach.
I agree.
I think I would have just steered away from, like, here's Marco Hernandez instead of Mario Cristobal. There you go.
So the
teach you not to be in our game.
So the virtual Miami coach doesn't look like Mario Cristobal at all?
I don't think he does.
No, I know. I know. I played with him yesterday. He doesn't.
I just meant I don't think.
He doesn't at all.
I don't find them to be resembling.
No, either. Not at all. But they did give him a Hispanic name. Maybe when he says no, just go with David Smith or whatever you need to do.
What's the what was the Chad Masters, the old New England coach, when Belichick wouldn't be in the game? He's not in this one either, if that's meaningful to you.
Yeah, Belichick didn't give his okay to use his name, image, and likeness. So just be aware, we're not that far away from college football and also your chance to hang out with us at the Golden Nugget. So just be ready. It should be a good time, despite me being there and wanting to do anything but watch important games around people. Just not my personality. But John and Lance, you know, they're people. They're people, actually. So they'll love if you guys are out there. And Sean will, too.
Depends how the Texas game goes.
It always is like that, right?
That's 11 o'clock.
If the team plays well, you got the whole day to hang out and be thrilled. If they don't play well, you want to go hide someplace or drown your sorrows in the slots.
That's what I'll do.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Try to get it back.
That's right. And before we go, I want to let you know about the summer circuit. Of course, we give you a chance to win a Power On electric bike from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's two of them, $4,000 value. And this week, we're going to be at the Pleasure Pier. That's down in Galveston. They're going to be inside Sweet Scoots. It'll be Paul Gallant and then the Killer Bees. So be ready for another event, part of our summer circuit. All right, we're done for the day, Sean. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Yeah, like Jalen's awesome.
Thanks for Fellstone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.